I know a lot of people thought that those two things were hand in hand, the override and the redistricting, when really they're two separate pieces.
Sherlock here for Franklin Matters, Franklin Public Radio, anywhere, any time on the internet at WFPR.FM and in the local Franklin Mass FM radio dial 102.9. There was a town council budget hearing session, two of them actually, in a town council meeting early in May, and we're finally catching up to all of them with our town council chair, Tom Mercer. Tom, how are you doing today?
Living the dream, Steve.
Living the dream. You know,
it's all good. Doing well. Been a lot going on in the last few weeks.
Just a wee bit, eh?
It keeps us busy.
Yes. Budget season is really the primary process, for those who haven't heard, to set up how the town's going to deliver its services. And it's a critical process.
It is. And it's a long process. And I know some people, you know, just for whatever the reason, only have the time to tune in right around the public hearing on the budget, and sometimes get the feeling that it's rushed through and so forth. But, you know, the budget process started in November, and we're just getting to it. And the other piece that people don't always understand is the fact that we're voting the budget when we don't even know what the state is going to give us for the state funds.
Right.
And that's just kind of the way the whole thing works.
Yeah. You're generally in the ballpark, usually.
Yeah. Yeah. We have a very good idea. You know, you see the House of Representatives number, you see the Senate number, and, you know, the governor gets his or her piece in there. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you can come very, very close. And that's kind of been the norm. But sometimes it's confusing. Well, why don't you just wait? Well, by law, we can't. Mass General Laws says we have to put together a balanced budget by X date. And that's what we end up having to do. And then we revisit it. Sometimes I use the word tweak, but sometimes there is a little tweaking that needs to be done. And, you know, there's a second round that sometimes comes out in October, and we have to go back in and tweak it again. So the budget season is almost a year long. Season?
Yeah, technically it's year long for the finance and you know, controller and their offices, et cetera. And then from a Jamie perspective, he's always got some adjustments. And we've talked in other, you effectively, and especially on the finance side, you're dealing with three budgets at a time: the prior year, the current year, and planning for the new year, right? And yeah, to your point, generally, while, okay, the state hasn't really settled there. So the governor issued theirs in January. The House came out with theirs. Senate just came out with theirs in May. They've passed theirs. House passed theirs. Now they got to go on a reconciliation committee. And sometime during July, oh, they've been a little bit later from time to time, too.
They have.
They'll get together and then send it to the governor. And the governor may still do some line item adjustments before finally approving it from the state perspective.
Exactly.
Which is why it sets you up for, you know, sometimes in October, depending upon the nature of the changes, or just in November if they're minimal, right?
It could very well be. And some years there's very few. Some years all of a sudden it's you know, a little more than you expected. So it takes a little more time to look at how we best spend those tax dollars coming in.
And so while you've prioritized and set the fiscal year 2025 budget, there's also a big question mark around that. Will that number actually change, yes or no? And the voters will have a chance to say yes or no on June 11th.
That's exactly right. There is a proposed override ballot question to override Proposition 2.5 in the amount of $6.8 million. And the council voted back in the beginning of May to
May
put
1.
that question on the ballot. There's been a lot of discussion about it, both pro and con to the amount, both pro and con to the date.
The timing, yeah.
There were a lot of people that felt it was too quick. Others felt we needed to do it right now. And I kind of understand both sides of that equation, having sat in that seat prior. But I think it makes the most sense. It certainly did, in my opinion, to make the most sense to put it on the June 11th date because of the restrictions that the school committee are under as far as sending out RIF notices and so forth.
Sure.
They have to send those out by the 15th. And it's certainly a situation where, we have some great young teachers that have come in. We have great teachers all around,
Sure.
but we have some of the younger, really good teachers that have come on board in recent years. And they look at, if they were to get a RIF notice, let's say, they may look to greener pastures. So, having that decision made prior to having to send out those notices just made an awful lot of sense. And, I said it publicly and I'll say it again. I thought that November was a better date initially, but because of the reasons that the school committee brought forward as to why they really wanted it prior to, they were able to convince me that that was the right date based upon that information.
Sure.
Obviously, you won't get as many people at a special election as you would at a November,
Presidential election.
presidential election. So anyway, June 11th is the date. At the high school, there's early voting going on now. And I would just ask the entire community, please come out, get out and vote, whether it's early or whether it's on the June 11th date. Have your voice heard by going out and voting on June 11th.
Yeah, because to reinforce the point, clearly in your role as the council, you clearly saw and heard the school committee's needs and wants, et cetera. So the dollar value and the date has been set. Now the community gets to weigh in as to what kind of services we really want to provide. And yes, there's going to be an affordability factor for many, if not all. That's going to be a consideration. But the real question, I think, is okay, what kind of services do we really want? And that's where the schools potentially will have the most impact. And yeah, that's where the June date comes back in, because I agree with you, at least in terms of the November no numbers speak to the better overall electorate turnout. But the June just made more practical sense in terms of schools at least get a chance to say, either way, whether it passes or not, this is what we're looking forward to. They get the plan during the summer for September, and go forward, as opposed to taking cuts now and then potentially getting an opportunity to get increased revenue next year. That still doesn't give them, effectively, the school year is lost for those students, right? So, yeah.
It just made the most sense to put the question out there in June for those reasons, because the school administration, the school committee, as well as the administration, it takes time to plan for a school year. You can't It just doesn't happen overnight. So to have the summer knowing what those dollar, what that dollar number actually is, whether it's the one that we just passed or whether it's the one we passed plus the override.
Sure. And then somewhat complicated by the other decision the school committee took a while to get to, but during their process, because effectively, and we've covered it in other recordings with the school committee members, et cetera, but the redistricting, at least from an override perspective, is not directly related, except if that was going to be a question, well, what are the, what's going to happen? How are they going to come back? At least we know with the redistricting proceeding, the schools should at least be much more efficient going forward.
Exactly. Yeah.
And people can do the math. We're going from five elementary schools, physical buildings, to four schools in two buildings. That has to save some money. And it's certainly not going to solve the budget crisis. And
Well,
likewise, going from three middle schools in three buildings to three middle schools, effectively one middle school in one building. That has to save some money as well. So, again, they're not going to solve the budget crisis, but to the extent that it was going to be a question, it at least is answered. So it doesn't further complicate the issue.
exactly. And they, I know a lot of people thought that those two things were hand in hand, the override and the redistricting, when really they're two separate pieces, totally separate. And the redistricting that the school department just voted is something that they've been working on for a number of years. And they got the results back from the consultants, and they spent a lot of time in subcommittees and public forums, roundtable discussions, and came up with their redistricting plan that they just passed, which certainly seems to be a good one. Obviously, they're much in, more tuned into that than I am sitting in the chair that I sit in now. So.
Yeah, and respectfully, you give the one line item that they have to then manage all the details to. You have enough on your
Exactly.
side oversighting all the rest of the other details for all the other line items.
Correct.
And then just to reinforce the point, give us a segue too, is at the same time, because why not? The plan for a plan, clearly from the school side, they still have a boatload of details to work out to make the implementation plan. And that's where Lucas has said a couple of times, Superintendent Jaggera specifically, he needs 2 summers to plan. So this summer is one,
Absolutely.
next summer is the second summer, and there'll be an opportunity. So for a lot of the folks who, on the one hand, were surprised, but on the other hand, concerned, they get a chance to serve in some format on some of the subcommittees going forwards to help craft the best plan for the district.
Exactly. And I applaud Superintendent Jaggera's plan on this. I like the fact that they're taking their time, as he said, and as you just said, taking 2 summers along with the school year. Of course, they can't focus totally on it during the school year, but at least it gives them time to have some focus groups and get all this stuff together and make sure the implementation of that plan goes forward smoothly.
And then this the segue is we'll step back quite briefly because the master plan update committee has been working for a while. They're now about to start revealing their objectives and goals. Which, from some of the naysayers on any number of sides, saying, "Well, what is Franklin going to be when we grow up?" Well, this is the plan that the master plan committee has done a variety of outreach sessions, many subcommittee meetings, and now putting together something that we all can read, and then look and say, "Okay, does that make sense? Well, maybe this should make sense," and have those discussions before. I think in September, they're still on schedule to bring it both to the planning board and to the town council to start going through that formal approval process. But June, July, and August should give the community at least time to fine-tune those goals and objectives, because that's really where the citizen engagement can be to help really address a number of issues, not just override, not just budget, but
Yeah.
growth. And how are we going to do this? And how, what
How do
kind
we
of
deal
growth?
with growth? And I think that that's a very good point, Steve. When we look at what the master plan 10 years ago, we did a master plan for the next 10 years. This one we started last fall. You know, we had talked, we wanted it to be a year, then we extended it a little bit because there's just so much work that goes into it. And you are looking at the vision for the community for the next 10 years. What does it look like? And I applaud the efforts of the Master Plan Committee, Councillor Jones, Councillor Frangillo, Councillor Hamblin. They're all have worked, and all of the other folks that are on the different subcommittees, and there are many.
Yes, a total of what, 13 people across six subcommittees, I think?
Yes, exactly. And they've really done yeoman's work to get us to the point where they are now, which is when they are starting to bring all of the groups together and really formalizing that vision that they're going to recommend to both the council planning board and to the residents of the community. And again, the master plan is a guide. It's not anything that's cast in stone, but what it does do is it gives us a direction, and we're always looking at that. And sometimes it gets tweaked along the way with different
other adjustments.
Yeah, absolutely. So it's just a really important tool for this town council, as well as future town councils, to have in their back pocket that they can pull out and say, okay, this is the direction that we were headed. Do we still want this to continue this way? So I think it's all good. Again, I applaud the efforts of the group. It's yeoman's work to get a master plan together. In fact, I think Representative Roy chaired the last master plan committee, and
yes,
Councilor Jones is chairing this one.
Yep. Yeah, I recall participating in at least the final sessions with Rep. Roy leading. And there's just with the six subcommittees, there's just far too many for me. I've participated in one or two. There's far too
many. I don't
many
know how you get to what, I don't know how you get to what you do get to. So,
but now that they're getting to the real details of, okay, this is what the guide, this is what the goal will be. This is, I am definitely going to get more involved, because now at least I can say, instead of just go to the meetings, be informed. Take a look at this. Do you agree with this? Is this what we should be doing in housing, transportation, open space? I mean, sustainability has been a comment from a number of council meetings where people have stepped up. Well, we need a sustainability director, and they can justify it for funding, et cetera. And I understand that from a perspective, but under the budget circumstance, we just, you made a prioritization that for now said no. It may come back.
Exactly.
But in terms of the overall directions, just to reinforce for the listeners, is I understand the process, and you're certainly in the center role, so you can help confirm. The master plan sets the direction in terms of the vision, the people buy into that, and then that becomes effectively your kind of marching guide to direct the town administrator and the various departments. This is the direction we want to go. So it's not like all of a sudden something over left corner starts appearing. No, it's going to be within the guidelines. And I know you,
exactly.
We've talked about kind of, you have an aggressive goals list. Well, some of those goals came from the master plan from and prior ones.
You took the words right out of my mouth. As each council, when they come in, newly elected councils, they look and set goals for the 2-year time frame that they're elected for, and they tweak them after a year. But most of those goals are coming from the master plan.
Mm-hmm.
Now, one council might have a little different priority than another,
Sure.
and that's all good. That's all good stuff, and it just allows for the betterment of the community by having that plan there to help set the goals as we move forward.
Indeed. So the opportunity is certainly in and amongst the other special events between the Porch Fest, the farmers market starting, the concerts on the common. There's a whole lot of the good things happening as we go forward. There'll be opportunities for all these discussions in those places as well, in addition to, oh, that's good music. Oh, that's good food.
Exactly. Exactly. There's a lot of great stuff going on right now, and as we start to get into the summer schedule, a lot of things going on in the cultural district. Concerts on the Common are there, and we have Porch Fest, and then we have the Strawberry Stroll right behind it. So there's a lot of good things going on.
Yes, indeed. And a couple of others just quickly in passing. Certainly the pride flag raising is also Saturday morning early before the Porch Fest. And
Yeah.
then Pride Day is later in June. So we'll have more time to talk about that as that gets closer to it as well. But
Yeah.
there is so much happening. It's hard to keep track of.
It's hard to keep track, and it's hard to get to every single one of them. And you know that as well as anybody, but we do our best to get there and support and try and keep the residents tuned in as to what's going on in the community over the next couple of weeks. Every time we have a council meeting, one of the things I added in this past year was just putting forward some upcoming events and town-sponsored upcoming events, and making that a regular part of a council meeting so that people listening and the residents can hear what's coming up and where and how. And we just had the Memorial Day parade yesterday. It was a great day, and a lot of people turned out, and it's great to hear all the music from the school bands.
Right.
So it was just a really, really nice day memorializing our veterans
And
completely.
those who passed in service of the country, which gives us the opportunity to do what we do today. So thank you, thank you. And for those who may have missed the ceremony on the Common, quick plug, the audio recording of the ceremony on the Common, the reading of the honor roll, and both the PDFs of the honor roll listing, as well as the ceremony and the parade participants, were shared through Franklin.News, Franklin Matters. So they're available if people want to go back and say, oh, what was said? Who was on that list? So it's available.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you for taking time today to share the happenings, because there is so much good stuff and some important stuff happening. And I, with you, encourage people to cast an informed vote on or before June 11th. There's plenty of opportunity, so please do so.
And all the information is on the town's website. It's on, I'm sure. I know you well enough to know that it's on the Franklin Matters website and the Franklin.News website. So please, if you have questions about the override, please let us know what those questions are. Go on to the website. Your answers to every question are there somewhere. And if you need help finding it, please let us know. We'll be more than happy to get those answers for you.
Agreed. Well, thank you again. And to the listeners, thank you for listening. Come back next time, because you've got another meeting June 5th already. Wow. Yes. Time
Right
marches
around the
on.
corner. And that's a lot of zoning issues on that one. So,
Oh, yes.
yeah.
A good dicey topic. I mean, it's good meaty stuff in there too.
Yeah, there is. For sure.
Yeah.
So,
All right. And a quick
thanks.
reminder for the listeners, we do this because Franklin matters. We are now producing this in collaboration with Franklin TV and Franklin Public Radio. This podcast is my public service effort for Franklin, but we can't do it alone. We can always use your help. How can you help? If you can use the information that you find here, please tell your friends and neighbors. If you don't like something here, please let me know. Through this feedback loop, we can continue to make improvements. And I thank you for listening. For additional information, please visit franklinmatters.org. If you have questions or comments, you can reach me directly at suresteve@gmail.com. The music for the intro and exit was provided by Michael Clark and the group East of Shirley. The piece is titled Ernesto Mañana, copyright Michael Clark and Tin Type Tunes in 2008, and used with their permission. I hope you enjoy. By the way, you can also subscribe and listen to Franklin Matters Radio on your favorite podcast app. Search in podcasts for Franklin Matters.